This is Vulnerability Matters from the Money Advice Trust.
And I would say, if anyone is designing your systems for this, don't expect not to evolve them, even if you've tested it in real life. I think just bear that in mind. First draft is never the last draft.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Vulnerability Matters. I'm Chris Fitch. Now, is a vulnerability flag just a piece of data in a company system, or could it actually be a lifeline that changes a customer's world? In today's episode, we explore the science and compassion that lies behind the flags, the markers, and the alerts that are used by organizations to indicate that a customer might be vulnerable to harm. Talking us through this delicate balance, and you just heard her voice, is Sarah Liddon from Nationwide, who explains just why Nationwide have entirely redesigned from the ground up their vulnerability marker system, why they decided to start collecting information about support needs and circumstances, and the decisions, dilemmas, and difference that better flag data has made for Nationwide customers. Sarah, great to have you on Vulnerability Matters. Thanks so much for coming in. Let's get straight to it. So just how long have you been a vexillophile? As someone who's keen on flags, Sarah, just to give you the key.
Okay, good to know. Probably for about the last 5 or 6 years, it's been, or maybe even longer, actually. I've been around vulnerability for about 10 years. So let's go with 10.
We'll go with 10. So just what is a data flag? Why do firms have them? And why should we care so much when it comes to vulnerability?
Okay, so in essence, a data flag is really a marker on a customer record that tells us something that is helpful to know when we're interacting with a customer. Firms have them because it's helpful to both them and the customer to be able to understand more about the customer and their circumstances and be able to understand what their needs are and how that might impact on the way that they manage their products and services with that firm. Of course, it is helpful as well from a regulatory expectation that we understand our customers' needs and respond to those needs in the right way to ensure that customer receives a good outcome. But to be honest, it's something we really want to see greater consumer awareness of so that customers really know how they can be supported.
Okay, so we now know what a flag is and why they can be so useful. Let's have a quick fire round before we get into the Nationwide approach to flags. Let's try and set out some general principles. I'm going to call them Liddon's laws, if you like. You may, yeah, I can see the facial pulling. So these are the three most common questions that I think people often have about flags. First one, how many flags do I need?
Well, the answer to that is definitely not a yes, no vulnerability marker. The answer to that is the number of flags you need is really determined by the needs of your customer base.
Fantastic. And how many flags do you have at Nationwide?
So we have at the moment 41 support needs. And that's the kind of things like it might be alternative formats for their mailing. So large print, audio, braille, or I need longer for an appointment, for example. And then we have 11 areas of circumstances. And there are some values that sit below those. But when I talk about circumstances, we're talking about things like life events, like relationship breakdown or recently bereaved, for example.
Fantastic. What should I be flagging, Sarah?
So what you need to flag needs to help both the customer and the colleague in the firm. So it needs to be what I would call relevant and actionable. So if you ask yourself if you should record the FCA's driver of health or life event, for example, what does that really tell a colleague about how they're going to help the customer? So what you need to consider is what does the customer need from that firm and what are the circumstances surrounding that might impact their interactions with a firm?
Okay, this is great. We're doing well at this. And if I have flags, do I still need free text information about a customer? Or will the flags get rid of all of that?
That's a really good question. I would say there's pros and cons with free text. It can be difficult to manage and use as a colleague can write anything, sometimes too much, sometimes too little, sometimes irrelevant. On the flip side, if a customer is being case managed and has needs complex support over a period of time, then using free text in a case notes can be really, really beneficial to the colleague so that the customer doesn't have to go back over that history and repeat themselves.
Okay.
Not very good at keeping to one sentence, am I?
So that's very good, is it? You're better than some of the guests we have, Sarah, I have to say. It's kind of a... So this is the bit that people probably want to really get into the detail. Let's start to talk about the Nationwide way with vulnerability flags. So starting at the beginning, how did Nationwide originally approach the recording of vulnerability? And how has that progressed over time?
Okay, let's go back in time a little bit then. So I would say Nationwide first introduced the ability to record customer needs in around 2017-18. So like most firms, that was influenced and informed by the FCA's 2015 occasional paper on vulnerability. And I'm sure most of your listeners will recognise over time, firms and regulators' understanding of customer vulnerability has grown. And so when in 2021, the FCA published their vulnerability guidance and provided us with that more detailed expectation, we get out a clear but fairly ambitious strategy to build a central database and to integrate that with all relevant colleague and customer systems so that customers could disclose through their channel of choice and only tell us once. So we went right back to basics. We set out the different types of flags that we needed to record, and we provided definitions for those different types of flags. So a little bit further down the line, when that new database was delivered and integrated with our colleague systems, we were really keen to enable customers to disclose via a self-serve and really keen to be part of any new innovation in that space. So we became one of the founding members of Experian Support Hub, which is a digital disclosure solution and allows customers to tell multiple firms about their support needs at the same time. And a little after that, we then integrated with our own digital platforms for both mobile app and our internet bank, just to provide those additional self-serve options and customer choice, in essence. And that allows them to record, view and update their needs through those digital channels, which is really, really important.
So a lot of people at this point will be thinking, hang on a second, you've got the support need flags, but you've also got these instances flags.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, we have two types of flags. So we have the support needs, and we define that as something a customer has told us about that they need us to do to support their servicing interactions or their communications. And then we have the circumstances, and we define those as information shared that describes the customer's underlying vulnerability that may impact the way they interact with us or their ability to manage money. So as our thinking evolved, we started to bring in the circumstances. So we had those set of 40 plus support needs. And as we evolved our thinking, we knew we wanted to build and test out those circumstances, but we knew we wanted to do it really carefully and thoughtfully and not rush kind of headlong into having just a very long list of circumstances that didn't help either the customer or the colleague. So we actually started off with just three circumstances that we believed created the highest risk of harm for customers. And the way that we approached that was to consider the customer support needs that we already had the ability to record and the key difference a circumstance flag would make or benefit the customer or mitigate that risk of harm, basically.
That's really helpful. Could you give us some examples of the types of circumstances that you're recording? And also explain, why do you need to know the circumstance?
Some of it is about being able to use, for colleagues to be able to use their judgment in a situation. So some of the circumstances we record, things like end of life events, we'd record recently bereaved, for example. And to be honest, their mental health might be impacted by it. And obviously everybody's different, but it just allows a colleague to have that extra level of knowledge that helps them use their judgment in those decisions and understanding of what that customer might be going through. Similarly, we use things like relationship breakdown because, again, the impact that can have on somebody, their mental health, their well-being and their ability to take in information, make decisions, etc., can be impaired by those situations.
So there'll be circumstances flags around life events. Will there be the other types of circumstances flags? Do you have some other examples?
Yeah, so we have circumstance flags around domestic abuse, financial abuse, and they are for, you know, customers that want us to tell us that they've been impacted by that or that they're worried that they're going to be impacted by that. So they're very much based on, you know, what the customer is kind of wanting to tell us. We do have the odd flag where we will set it without a customer consent because it's in their best interest to do if we are overly concerned about a customer and we want to protect them and their money, then we will set them, but they're few and far between where we won't get the consent of the customer and they are recorded under a different legal basis.
So it's getting that additional information which is critical, because I guess Some support needs don't tell you everything. So someone requiring a little extra time, it could be because English isn't first language, or due to a mental health problem, or something else. So it gives you that extra bit of information. And the thing I really picked up was the circumstances that are most common for nationwide customers. So you've gone through a process to kind of identify those. Could you tell us a bit more about that process?
Yeah, so what we looked at was we looked at all of the indicators of vulnerability. We started out with the FCA list, and obviously we know there's 23 things listed in there. But what we did was we looked at whether or not having a flag for that particular circumstance would either mitigate risk for the customer, mitigate the risk of harm, or whether it would truly make a difference to the way that we approached it. And you need to make sure that flags have got an action and a purpose behind them. And to do that, for example, let's take retirement. So retirement is seen as one of those vulnerabilities or an indicator of vulnerability. Well, you're in a very, you can be in very different ends of the spectrum in retirement. So somebody might retire with no personal pension, no company pension, etc. You know, lose all of that income, be living on state pension, have no other people living with them that can support them financially. And that can be quite a significant impact. You've got somebody on the other end of the spectrum who's got a very healthy company or personal pension, has a partner also equally with that, and they're in a very different end of the scale. If you had a flag that said retirement, it's not going to tell you anything about what the customer needs from us or what they need you to do differently. So it's really important that in those kind of situations, you actually understand what their needs are as a result of those things, which is why we ended up, we didn't have every single circumstance listed.
And you said the there's an element of transparency here because customers can see what's recorded. It's listed on your website. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. We've got information on our website and obviously they can self-serve and see the flags that they have listed.
That's very interesting, making that data architecture transparent to all. We can't obviously ask about recording without talking about retention. So I just wondered, is there a nationwide approach to how long you keep flag data? In other words, is there a point where you review the flags for customers to see if they're still relevant? And when is that point?
Yeah, absolutely. So flags can be reviewed and updated or removed at any point in time by our customers or our frontline colleagues through those conversations. And they're trained to do that. But in terms of retention, our support needs, we retain those indefinitely until the customer tells us they're no longer relevant. And that's because for the most part, those support needs often relate to a permanent need. For example, if somebody is deaf and needs BSL, or someone is blind, sight impaired, needs braille, large print, they're often lifelong needs and they're unlikely to change. But for circumstances in particular, they are situational, temporary often, and also considered special category data. So it's really important that the data is accurate, up to date, and we don't keep it longer than is necessary or that it makes a difference for. So let's take, you know, example, the one I used previously, recently bereaved, that's unlikely to be relevant or have the same impact for a customer 10 years down the line. Therefore, we wouldn't and shouldn't keep it for an indefinite period of time. So we have review dates actually set into our system, into our database, and they will either prompt a colleague to have a conversation with the customer in a natural interaction if the customer is in contact with us. But if those interactions don't happen, then we will, through a communication to our customers, let them know that, you know, ask them if the flag is still relevant, if they still want it to be set, and if it's not, that we will remove it at a certain period of times. If they never come back to us, we will automatically remove it. We tell them we're going to do that up front so that that data is not retained for longer than it is absolutely necessary.
That's really interesting. I know one of your circumstances codes is mental health, and you've got some subdivisions within that. So that would also apply to that due to the episodic nature of some of those mental health problems.
Yeah. Okay. Every single flag has its own individual retention. So they vary from 6 months to 2 years across those. And a customer can continue to set them. We don't, you know, if the customer feels it's relevant, we'll continue with that flag. But if it's not, then it will be removed.
Now, when you're designing a flag system or a record and share project, it isn't just the definition of the support codes or the circumstances is key. It's also about how staff are able to access, see, and interact with those codes. So how do the flags look to colleagues across the nationwide system, be that contact centre, branch, or another channel?
Yeah, so in the main, the majority of our flags are available to all of our frontline colleagues. And that's through their main servicing system, that they all use the same system. And it's highlighted right at the top front screen. So if there's flags present, they will be really obvious to them, and then they can go in to that highlighted area, and then they get into the detail of where those customers' preferences are in those screens, what flags have been recorded with us. We do have a very small number that are only available to our specialist teams, and that's because the information is special category data and it's only really relevant to those specific interactions or journeys. So in essence, we've determined that by flag, but for the majority, available to all frontline colleagues. And as I said, we list all that information on our website so the customers can equally understand kind of what's available to them. And sometimes they'll tell us without prompting what it is that they need us to do differently. We use language rather than a code. So the colleague doesn't then have to go in and look up another table. So we don't use code 1234, for example, then they've got to go and look at it. We will use wording. So we keep them fairly short and sweet. So for example, it will say, I need a hearing loop. I need longer appointments. So it's really clear to colleagues as soon as they go in what that customer needs them to do differently.
Will staff see them before security or ID&V? Because I've seen some systems where you have to go through ID&V first, the identification process, before the support needs pop up on the screen.
Yeah, so we're just in the process of updating ours so that they come earlier on in that journey. And, you know, even the smallest of kind of click-throughs, we're trying to make it simpler and easier. And our colleagues, you know, we engage with them all the time, our frontline colleagues, and ask them what they need us to do differently. And I would say, if anyone is designing your systems for this, don't expect not to evolve them, even if you've tested it in real life. Like, once it's actually in use, and for us, that's by hundreds and thousands of colleagues, there will always provide new opportunities for continuous improvement. So I think just bear that in mind. First draft is never the last draft.
Yeah. Tell me about it. It's so still thinking about the design stage. It's one thing to come up with a proposal to change an approach to flags or to kind of recording, but these proposals are often reviewed by a huge number of people, including our dear friends working in data protection. So I wondered, did you encounter any discussions between data protection, who might want to really minimize the amount of data that we hold about vulnerability, and our operational teams, who sometimes want the exact opposite, which is to try and expand and have more information about vulnerability? What was that process like?
Yeah, I would say our data privacy team became our new best friends. I mean, in all seriousness, we engaged them right from the very beginning when we were relooking at our strategy and kind of going back to basics. And they absolutely came on this journey, for want of a better X factor word, with us. So you can't ignore GDPR in all of this because we're dealing with data, right? So ultimately, when you're designing anything, you need to consider any relevant regulation, legislation, as well as your operational considerations. And you need to balance those things with customer outcomes, with the outcomes you're trying to achieve. Equally important, I would say, is involving SMEs and lived experts so that we always have a really clear user-informed rationale to back up any proposals on why it's right for the customer. And we'll often work with across industry, but also with our charity partners to gain access to those lived experts. We have had many a discussion and debate, but landed on a solution that met all of the regulatory requirements, as well as making it work for our ops teams. And we found the best way to do this was to really focus on a set of principles and questions when you think about each flag. So as I've mentioned, we have a definition for each of our types of our two different flags. But the two key questions we always ask ourselves is, what is the purpose of recording it? And what is the action we're going to take? And if there is neither a purpose or action, you really should be asking yourselves, why would you be recording that information?
Absolutely. So they're your BFFs are in DPA now. When a firm decides to add or change a flag, it's not an overnight change. It's a system update, and there's a lot of work that's involved to get it into place. So could you talk us about the amount of effort and activity that goes into, say, the training of colleagues, the internal comms, and the rollout itself?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think our tech teams might have an issue if I say just a system update. So it's most definitely not just a system update. But I think you've helped set the scene there a little bit in listing, you know, some of the work that goes on, what we would refer to as business readiness. And I can't take any credit for that. My team work really, really closely with our brilliant business change colleagues who sit in our business functions, and they support them in providing them with all of the information to kind of inform them of any change and then skillfully and with a substantial amount of time and effort, turn that into training, guidance, communications, and they really do focus on landing that change and ensuring it's embedded with those teams, because otherwise you've wasted all that investment in tech change if you don't achieve the customer outcomes that you set out to deliver. And I think it's really important to have that feedback loop as well. So we make sure that we've got an electronic form that sits in our internal intranet sites, and that's available to anyone across the front line. So once they've had that training, once they've had that feedback, you know, they might actually think of a new flag that might be beneficial. And we allow them to let us know about that. So we want them to tell us if they come across situations where they feel like there's something missing or there's a new flag that we might consider. So that comes directly into our team, and we'll review those on a weekly basis. And sometimes it's a flag that we want to take forward, we want to investigate further. Sometimes it's actually about educating them on the support needs that are already available, that actually having that flag wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah, so it's an aspect that we shouldn't overlook. And one aspect we really want to communicate, I guess, is the difference it's going to make for our individual customers. And I just wondered now, kind of reflecting with this all in place, I know it's an ongoing job, but with much of the change in place, what has this gradual improvement allowed Nationwide to do for its individual customers that it couldn't do before?
I mean, protecting our vulnerable customers is critical to our business strategy. I mean, our purpose is about banking, but fairer, more rewarding, and for the good of society. So, you know, that enables us to drive customer well-being, inclusion, equality, and most of all, fair outcomes for everybody. Ultimately, the improvements we've made allow us to enable customers to not only tell us once, but be able to tailor our approach to meet those individual customer needs through each and every interaction. It means customers will feel like the service is more personalised to them and their needs. And it also effectively removes barriers that they might previously have experienced in being able to access their products and services and in the way that they really need to for their particular situation or circumstance. And I think we've also been able to build out that aggregate picture of our customer base, which is also really important. And it then informs our current and our future design of products and services. So by understanding our customers' needs, we can establish where there may be a risk of harm if we're not meeting those needs, and therefore adapt those products and services. And whether that's during our kind of regular annual reviews of those, or whether it's at the start of a brand new product that we want to launch or a service, it really helps us to enable us to understand that customer need before we start down that process. And it also helps us to design propositions that are for specific cohorts and specific customers.
So what's the next step for Nationwide in terms of your flag and your indicator system?
I think our flag taxonomy will always evolve as society is always changing. Our thinking really is shaped by kind of insight and research about our customers and their lives, and what they need from us as their financial service provider. I think there's always more technology we can exploit to deliver better support and more efficiently too. So things like automating more processes and services as a result of simply setting that flag rather than it relying on a colleague to do something.
Sarah Linden, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris.
And that was Sarah Linden from Nationwide, reminding us that every flag needs a purpose and an action. If you want to find out more about the support and circumstances codes that Nationwide uses, go to nationwide.co.uk and search supporting your needs. And that's about it for today. So until next time, keep the Aspidistra flying, have fun with flags, and always remember that vulnerability matters. Vulnerability Matters was brought to you by the Money Advice Trust. It was presented by Chris Fitch and produced by Phil King.